Hello, my name is Isaac Keith Martinez, and welcome to Isaac's Haunted Beard. Today, we will be talking about four films. Those four films are Thor, Thor the Dark World, Thor Ragnarok, and Thor Love and Thunder. Now, when this podcast episode was originally published, Thor Love and Thunder had recently been released on Disney Plus for the first time, and I was looking forward to checking it out, so to get myself properly hyped, I re-watched the first three films in the Thor franchise. And I do that to get myself excited and to remind myself about the lore and the characters, so in case there are any callbacks in the new film, I'm not confused. And because I recently watched these movies, I thought, hey, let's do a podcast episode about it. I'm not an expert on Thor or comic book movies. In fact, I'm sure there are a lot of very good comic book movie podcasts out there that could teach you a whole bunch of stuff, and this ain't one of them. No, this is a much more casual conversation, but what I do bring to the table is my haunted beard. So, if you're a fan of that, stick around and listen to me, you know, struggle through a conversation about these Thor movies, because they're not really easy to talk about, especially when it comes to the plots, because they're quite complicated. But I do like them. I don't read comics, so I don't have a history with Thor. But I do remember the film Adventures in Babysitting back in 1987 when I first saw that movie. And there's a character in that movie, as you may remember, a young girl whose favorite comic character and hero was Thor. And near the end of the film, she meets a character named Dawson, who is a mechanic who owns a garage. And he looks like Thor, and she mistakes him for Thor. And he was played by a very young Vincent D'Onofrio. So it's very possible that I had heard of Thor before Adventures in Babysitting, but that was the first time that the character was really prominent in my brain. So, as you know, Thor is a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which I am a fan of. I like superhero movies, not just Marvel. But, you know, I like them for simple reasons. I like the colorful costumes, the creatures, the villains, the lore, the world building, the continuing storylines. I like all that stuff. You know, I've seen people complain that, oh, you know, they're so predictable. But hey, that's also kind of what I like about him. You know, when I watch a superhero movie, it's similar to watching something like a slasher movie. Like, I know what to expect, and that's a plus for me because I want to turn my brain off. I just want to be entertained, and I don't want to put that much thought into it. So the fact that they're predictable is actually kind of comforting to me because there's a certain amount of anxiety that I don't carry with me through the film because I know that the hero will save the day before those end credits roll. Now, although this is a four-film franchise, it is a franchise within a franchise, as you know, that is known as the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So each Thor film is sandwiched between other films from the MCU. So, Thor appears in some of those other films, things happen to him, and by the time you get to each new Thor movie, not only is it the next story in the Thor film timeline, but it carries with it whatever stuff happened to Thor in those other films. Now, as of this podcast episode, Thor has been in a total of 8 MCU films. So, in the MCU timeline, I do want to note that the previous film before the first movie that we're going to talk about was Iron Man 2. And I'm going to mention, before I talk about and after I talk about each Thor movie, what was the movie that preceded it and what was the movie that followed it. And I'm just doing it just because I don't really know, like, how much that helps the conversation, but, you know, it's kind of interesting, so I'm just going to do that. which leads us to talking about the plot of the first film, And I am going to talk about spoilers, I guess, for the, first three movies. At least I won't talk about spoilers for the fourth one because it's still new and there's no guarantee that you've seen it. But if you do like Thor, I'm pretty convinced you have seen the first three movies. That's why I'm comfortable talking about spoilers. And if you don't like Thor, you're either not listening to this podcast or you don't care because you just want to spend time with your old haunted pal. Now, you are going to notice if you like these movies and if you've seen these movies that I'm probably going to do, in your opinion, a lousy job of explaining the plots. But that's not that important to me because, like I said, I'm just using this as an excuse to hang out with you. Gotta talk about something. May as well talk about these Thor movies. From the year 2011, Thor. Thor is banished to Earth after messing up a truce with the Frost Giants, who he didn't know was secretly allowed into Asgard by his brother Loki. Not only is Thor now immortal on Earth, but his magic hammer is enchanted so that only the worthy shall wield it. On Earth, New Mexico to be precise, Thor meets Jane Foster, a scientist, and a romance develops between the two. Meanwhile, Loki discovers he's not actually the biological brother of Thor and son of Odin, and takes the throne after Odin falls into a coma-like sleep. Thor's friends travel to Earth to attempt to return Thor from exile to deal with Loki, and Loki sends the Destroyer, a huge automaton, to kill Thor. Thor offers his life to the Destroyer in exchange to save his friends and Jane. This act proves Thor worthy to once again wield his magic hammer, which restores his god powers. Thor saves everyone, returns to Asgard, kicks Loki's butt, saves the day, yada yada yada. Nick Fury reveals in the post-credit scene and reveals he's got the Tesseract to a person that is actually Loki in disguise, thus setting us up for the film The Avengers, which both Loki and Thor are in. But before The Avengers, the next film in the timeline is Captain America: The First Avenger. When this movie first came out, or at least when I first saw this movie, I didn't really like it that much. Like, I liked all the scenes on Asgard because I thought Asgard looked really cool. I liked how colorful it was. I liked all the designs and I liked all the costumes of the Asgardians. But once it got to New Mexico, I thought it was dull. And from the very second time that I watched the movie, I changed my mind. And I still prefer the scenes in Asgard. How could you not? It's so much more dazzling than the scenes in New Mexico. But I grew to, I don't know why I grew to like it. I do kind of like the Stranger in a Strange Land type of concept. And this might sound kind of strange, and I don't really want to go into too much detail of why, but there's something about Thor in New Mexico, especially the scene where he's in the diner, that kind of reminds me of the movie Universal Soldier. You remember that movie with JCVD? Anyway, I feel like if you know that movie and you know this movie, you kind of know what I'm getting at. And I can't give a really good explanation of why the movie grew on me. Maybe I just kind of softened and was wanting to accept it more. I really don't know why I liked it from the second time that I saw it, but I did. Yeah, I like Thor. I would say that, I mean, I don't really want to rank the Thor movies, but I mean, the very first one is probably my least favorite in the franchise. This film is directed by Kenneth Branagh, and when the movie is over, before the end credits roll, written on the screen is the credit, "A film by Kenneth Branagh." Which I don't know if this is the only movie where a director writes that specific credit on screen a film by and then their name, but it's the only one I remember. And it seems pretentious. And the funny thing is, like, the only reason why I think it's pretentious is because it's for Thor. Like, I'm actually all for ownership in a, you know, really artistic, proud way by saying a film by so-and-so if the movie I just sat through felt like some sort of cinematic achievement where I'm like, wow, that's really worthy of wanting to claim the vision as your own. But Thor doesn't seem to live up to deserving that bold, a film by Kenneth Branagh type statement. It seems kind of silly and out of place in a Thor movie. So I just wanted to point that out because I think that's kind of wacky. Did you know in 1990, Sam Raimi pitched his idea to do a Thor movie to 20th Century Fox? They passed on it because they didn't understand it. And I don't know what they didn't understand because I didn't do any further digging to find out what Sam Raimi's concept for his Thor movie is, but I might. Sounds potentially interesting. Before the next movie in the Thor franchise was Iron Man 3 in the MCU. So this leads to our next movie from the year 2013, Thor: The Dark World. This one is difficult for me to casually explain or recap, so I'll briefly go over it, skipping over lots of stuff. Okay? Okay. After a rare alignment of the Nine Realms, portals start appearing, and Jane Foster goes through one, teleporting her to another world, where her body absorbs a magic weapon known as, I don't remember if I'm saying this right, the aether? I don't know. It's this magical dust-like thing that's in her body, and like not only can it kill her, but it would bring on a catastrophic event, which brings these elf monsters to Asgard to get it. But they have to fight Thor, and Thor needs Loki's help, and he's in prison, so Thor has to break him out, and this leads to Thor fighting the main dark elf through various portals across multiple worlds, but ending on Earth, but eventually teleporting this monster to a different planet where he ends up getting crushed by his own spaceship. Thor returns to Asgard, where Loki is pretending to be Odin, and the next film in the MCU is Captain America: The Winter Soldier. And I'm okay that I just blabbered on and on because I accept that no one actually cares. Yeah, I think of all four Thor films, that's the hardest one to explain. Now, before I saw Thor: The Dark World for the first time, I was aware of its reputation, and it was negative. And I don't know if that negative reputation carries over all over or just among the immediate circle of people that I had talked to, because I had heard, oh, it's not good, it's boring, or it's bad. Yeah, I mean, I know it was semi-successful in the box office, which doesn't necessarily mean that it carries over into having a positive reputation, but I had always heard Thor: The Dark World was not good and that I should just skip it. And anyone who knows me knows that when it comes to watching a movie in a franchise that I am committed to seeing all the entries in, I would never skip a movie, regardless of its reputation. I need to see a movie in the franchise for two reasons. One, and this is the most important reason, and this should be the only reason as far as I'm concerned, to see for myself whether or not I like it. And two, because I'm also smart enough to realize that each entry in a film, good or bad, is going to present information that you learn in that movie, information that will carry on into the next movie that you may be confused if you don't know that information. What I learned, the biggest lesson I took away from seeing Thor: The Dark World for myself is never trust other people's opinions, no matter how passionate they are, because there is a good chance that you are going to differ with that opinion. Because you know what? Not only did I like Thor: The Dark World, I kind of think it's my favorite one in the franchise. Like, I see why people don't like it, But a lot of those things are the very things that I do like about it. In fact, one of the main things that I like about Thor: The Dark World is how creepy it is. The part of me that loves horror films is the part of me that most likes this Thor movie, because all those elf creature monster things, they're kind of spooky looking. And their planet is very dark, hence the title, The Dark World, and that creates a very spooky atmosphere. And I just like spending time in a spooky world with spooky creatures. And seeing Thor fight a bunch of spooky creatures is my idea of fun. So I like Thor: The Dark World. I'm not gonna argue with people about it and say, no, you didn't understand. It was good. I get it. I get that we're all different and that a lot of people wouldn't like it because it's the boring one or it's just not fun. But for me, it worked a lot. This film was directed by Alan Taylor, who also directed Terminator Genesis, another unpopular movie in a very popular franchise. And recently he directed The Many Saints of Newark, which is the prequel feature film to The Sopranos. He also directed Palookaville, which is a movie from 1995. I think it's his first film, which is a movie that I have in my DVD collection because it stars Vincent Gallo, and I'm a Vincent Gallo fan. Now, previous to our next film in the MCU timeline was Spider-Man Homecoming, which leads us to our next film in the Thor franchise from the year 2017, Thor Ragnarok. Here we go again. Let's make this quick. Being that this is the most popular and successful of the four films, I'm guessing if you've only seen one Thor movie, you saw this one. So you especially don't really need me to go over the plot, because you've already seen it, man. You remember that Odin dies in the beginning of the movie, thus freeing his firstborn child, a woman named Hela, from a prison that she was sealed in, because after conquering the Nine Realms with her father, he felt she was becoming too ambitious and powerful. And guess what? She goes back to her old ways, resurrecting dead people to fight for her and bringing back this giant wolf that, protects her and is dangerous. And she destroys Thor's hammer, tries to kill him and Loki, who have to escape to outer space and end up on a garbage planet where Thor becomes a slave to the Grand Master, who wants him to be a gladiator so he can fight his champion, who turns out to be the Hulk. This is about mostly Thor and Hulk's escape from the garbage planet and how he has to defeat Hela and use the fire demon to do so by freeing him, fulfilling the prophecy of Ragnarok, which destroys Hela and Asgard, which forces Thor to move Asgard's people to Earth. I'm sorry, I don't enjoy explaining these movies, but I do enjoy watching them. The next film in the MCU timeline, by the way, was Black Panther. I like this movie. The very first time I saw it, now this is gonna shock you, I didn't really like it. And I didn't really like it for the very reason that everybody did like it, and that was because it was so funny and lighthearted. I didn't really appreciate that at the time because the first two movies weren't like that. So I had kind of set it up in my mind where Thor, to me, the franchise, has a tone that it should carry throughout all the movies. And the fact that it radically changes so much was probably so refreshing to most people, but it took me off guard. Now, when I re-watched this movie recently, I went into it already knowing that. So I was prepared for it, and because I was prepared for it, my mind was just kind of prepared for it. So not only did I have an easier time going with it, but I found myself able to enjoy it. And I like it now, and I think that's great. That's the best thing ever when I don't like a movie and then something changes in me that allows me to like it. Because, hey, I'd rather like a movie than dislike a movie. That's one more movie in my world that I can enjoy. And also, I reminded myself that there are, you know, there's many times within a franchise that movies can completely change their tone. You know, one of the biggest examples, one of the obvious examples, is the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. You know, here you have a horror movie franchise that starts off pretty scary and serious, with its main villain, Freddy Krueger, being pretty scary, and not long into the franchise, he kind of does this shift where he becomes funny, and the whole franchise feels more lighthearted. And those movies are good too, right? So, like, you just like them for different reasons. So I can do that with Thor. Not a big problem. I do have kind of a complaint, or at least, I mean, it's not a complaint that I have anymore, but I had the complaint at the time. I remember when Thor Ragnarok was coming out, they were showing trailers and TV spots. In the trailer, they reveal that the Grandmaster's champion is the Hulk. If I had not seen those trailers going into the movie for the very first time, man, that would have been such a great reveal, such a great surprise. I mean, when you watch it, you can tell that it is set up to be a reveal. Like, ta-da, it's the Hulk. Aren't you shocked? Well, yeah, I would have been, but I already knew that it was the Hulk because they show the Hulk in the trailer. They show the moment where Thor sees that the champion is the Hulk in the trailer. Like, they didn't need to do that. I mean, partly I'm complaining that this is an example of trailers showing too much, but also I'm complaining that they didn't need to do that because surely they must have known people were going to see this movie anyway, because it's a Thor movie and because it's an MCU movie. Like, all those movies are successful. They all do well. They didn't need to be desperate and go, oh, please see our movie. The Hulk's in it. I mean, come on. Anyway, that's in the past. The movie is called Thor Ragnarok. And the very first time I ever heard the word Ragnarok was in the year 1995, when a rock band that I really like called Gwar released an album called Ragnarok. And every time I hear the word Ragnarok, I think of Gwar. This film was directed by Taika Waititi, who had made four movies up until this one, all of them very small films, all comedy dramas, movies that makes me wonder why they thought of him to do this movie. And when you watch this movie, he does such a great job. It's as though they knew something that we didn't, because it's a perfect fit for him. He really does make this world come to life. This garbage planet reminded me of Oz in The Wiz. Not in The Wizard of Oz, but in the 70s version called The Wiz. Something about the colorful urban Oz look looks like the way the garbage planet looks in Ragnarok. Now, Thor does something that no other Marvel character has done before. He made it past a third film in his own franchise. Iron Man had a trilogy. Captain America had a trilogy. And although the Guardians of the Galaxy, as of this podcast recording, only has two episodes, they're going to have a third one. So that's going to be a trilogy. But this is the first one to have a fourth film. And I'm not counting the Avengers, because that's not a single character. That's a group of characters. But as far as a single character carrying a franchise, Thor, as of right now, is the only one. And even if somebody else does it, he's the first one, right? So because the next movie that we're going to talk about is still brand new, I won't spoil it because there's no guarantee you've watched it yet. I don't want to ruin it for you. So I'll very lightly describe it. And it follows in the timeline Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness from the year 2022, Thor, Love, and Thunder. This time, Thor is after Gore. Ooh, that rhymes. Thor and Gore. Gore has a weapon called the Necrosword, which can be used to kill gods, which is what Gore is doing. Thor is reunited with Jane Foster, who is now also a Thor. As she has in her possession Thor's magic hammer, which turns her into a Thor, and it was previously destroyed by Hela, but you watch the movie, you see how it gets fixed, kind of. Why does she have it? I think that's a spoiler, so I don't want to tell you. This was the most recent MCU film released as of this podcast being published. Like, after this one, like, if you watch all of them, you're done. But obviously, you're not done, because they're going to keep making them forever. And for the record, the next one is actually going to be Wakanda Forever, which is the sequel to Black Panther. This film is also directed, once again, by Taika Waititi, who joins Jon Favreau, Joss Whedon, Peyton Reed, James Gunn, and the Russo brothers on the list of film directors who have directed more than one Marvel film. I liked this movie. It's, I guess, continues in the tradition of the kind of fun, you know, atmosphere and tone that the previous film creates. I don't think it's as wacky as Ragnarok, but it's still, it's certainly not as serious as the first two Thor movies. But it's, you know, I enjoy it. I don't know if this is considered a spoiler, but I am going to bring it up. I'm a huge fan of Guns N' Roses, and apparently so is Taika, who put 4 GNR songs in the film. Welcome to the Jungle, Sweet Child of Mine, Paradise City, and November Rain, which to me was pretty cool. Because I liked those songs, and I liked hearing them and seeing them within the context of a superhero movie. Now, the Thor franchise is not my favorite one within the MCU. As a matter of fact, I like the Iron Man trilogy, the Captain America trilogy, and the Guardians of the Galaxy franchises more than the Thor one. So why would I pick this one to do instead of those? Well, like I explained in the beginning of the episode, because it's the ones that I most recently watched. So there you go. Do you like Thor? Do you like the Thor movies? Do you like all of them? Do you like some of them? Which ones do you like? You can always let me know on Twitter at IsaacSauntedB. And if you do like them, but you haven't seen them all, they are all streaming on Disney Plus. So go check them out. Until the next time we talk about movies, thank you for spending time with your old haunted pal. Take care of yourself, won't you? And each other. Aloha.